Okay, we are up to Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Tes, Michtav L'Chizkiyo. The following psukim to the end of the Perek is a song. Michtav literally means a ksav, a document that Chizkiyo wrote, and this document and this song was written in thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving his life. It's very unique, such a song, because normally in Tanakh, who writes songs? David, Sefer Tehillim, whole Sefer Tehillim, all the songs primarily of David HaMelech. We have also some songs in Shmuel, and we have Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, wrote Oz Yashir, and in Tehillim, David included songs that were written seemingly by other people, like by Moshe, Tefillin LeMoshe, by the children of Korach, and so on and so forth. Many songs from different people in Tanakh have been incorporated into the songs of Sefer Tehillim. But other than that, in Tanakh itself, we don't have songs that were composed by other individuals, the other Ishei HaTanakh. Very rare. I'm not exactly familiar with all the details. We have songs. Hazinu Hashem wrote a song. The whole Torah is a song. Then there is a condensed, intensified song of Shiras Hazinu. But individuals.
Devorah.
Very good. Okay, Devorah. Correct. Shlomo HaMelech. Correct. Shlomo HaMelech and Devorah. But here is another example of a song that was composed by one of the major Ishei HaTanakh, Chizkiyo. And it's interesting, this song is not included in Sefer Melachim. These parakim, these parakim from Lamed Vav through Lamed Tes are appear in Sefer Melachim almost word for word. Even it's Perek Yud Ches, starting with Perek Yud Ches, word for word. There are a few differences, and every one of the few differences, all the Mepharshim get very excited. Why is there a difference between what it says here in Sefer Yishai, Sefer Melachim? And there are more details. We mentioned Sefer Divrei Hayamim, and every difference there is an explanation. And when we began this topic, we mentioned that from the three Svarim which we discussed the story of Sefer Melachim, Sefer Yishai, and Sefer Divrei Hayamim, the one that came first was clearly Yeshaya. Because Yeshaya lived, Sefer Melachim was written by Yirmiyah, and Yirmiyah came much later. Yirmiyah was during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. So he lived. The Churban Bayis Rishon took place 125 years after the event that we are describing here. So Yirmiyah came much later, and Yirmiyah obviously had a tradition. He had a tradition from his teachers and from those that came before him exactly what happened. But this Sefer Yishai was written by Chizkiyahu v'Siasa. Does not necessarily mean Chizkiyahu wrote it, but it means by his followers, his students, which definitely came before the time of Yirmiyah. And here only in Sefer Yishai do we have the record, this beautiful michtav, this song that was composed by Yishai. Yeah.
Who was Sefer Melachim?
Sefer Melachim was written by Yirmiyahu.
And Yeshayahu
was written by Chizkiyah v'Siasa, which means Chizkiyah and his followers. Chizkiyah lived approximately 125 years before Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah lived during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. The Churban Bayis Rishon took place 125 years after the event of Sancheriv. Now, it doesn't mean exactly, obviously, they were adults, and you have to calculate how long they lived, but in their prime, Yirmiyah, obviously, during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, was in his prime. I don't know his exact age, I'm sure it can be figured out. And here we're dealing with Chizkiyah when he was 39 years old. He lived for another 15 years after this event. And he, with his students, they compiled all of the famous prophecies of Yishai and put into writing. And only here in Sefer Yishai do we have this michtav, this document. We also know, you mentioned this many times, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very critical of Yishai for not singing Shira. Yishai was critical of Chizkiyah for not singing Shira. Had Chizkiyah sung a song at the time of the defeat of Sancheriv, he would have been Moshiach. And Sancheriv would have been Gog U'Magog, and Mashiach would have come. We would enter into the period of time of Yemos HaMashiach, and there would never have been a Churban. So the question that the Mefarshim deal with is, why do we not count this song that we're about to read right now as the song of Chizkiyahu, and that would have been a fulfillment of singing Shira. So the answer is that it was primarily for his illness. It was not, the song was not, what?
For himself.
Exactly right. It's not, there are the references in the song to the miracle of Sancheriv, but primarily it was for his own personal salvation, that he was healed and was able to live, and that's why it does not qualify. Now, the words of this song are extremely difficult. There are multiple interpretations for almost every single word. It's a very, very mystical song. We'll do the best that we can. We'll focus on Rashi and the Mitzudos. Usually the Mitzudos follows Rashi, more or less. It follows probably 80%. So every so often he goes off on his own and he says something a little bit different. But here, the Mitzudos and Rashi don't seem to get along. They seem to have very different interpretations, very different approaches to this song. So let's begin the song. Lichtav l'chizkiyahu, a document. It's also noteworthy that it does not say a sheer mizmar l'chizkiyahu. A michtav. What is the connotation, the difference between a michtav and a shira? I don't know. The Targum, Rashi quotes the Targum right away. What does it mean, a michtav? Targum Yonason, ksav oidoho, a document of thanksgiving, al nisa, concerning the miracle, the is abei l'chizkiya, that was done on behalf of Chizkiya. It was a document. A document that is recorded for all time. It's very fascinating that we do have this. Michtav l'chizkiyahu melech Yehuda b'chol b'chaloso, at the time when he was ill, vayichi mechol yo, and he lived from his illness. It's a record of the event. He was ill, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him life. And as we mentioned, Rashi alludes to this. We said this yesterday in detail, that Chizkiyahu was the first person in the history of the world. What that means exactly is not clear, but that's what it says in Chazal, that was healed from a terminal illness. He was deathly ill, was about to die. We discussed yesterday the three people. We had Avraham, Yaakov, and Chizkiyahu, part of this set. Avraham was the first person that looked old, and Yaakov was the first person that got ill, did not just suddenly just sneeze and die. And I think that's how it's sneezing. You say Gesundheit, Asusa, because I think that's part of the Medrash of Yaakov Avinu, if I'm not mistaken, that in ancient times when a person would sneeze, that was it. It was curtains. That was over. With Yaakov Avinu came the Chiddush that just because you sneeze doesn't mean that it's curtains. There's more to life than just sneezing. That's why you say Asusa Gesundheit. You live on. Oh, the David Melech Yisrael Chai VeKayim. It's not over. Okay, but here we have Chizkiyahu, that he actually Vayichi Necholia. This is a Chiddush. Like, we just look at these words, okay, so he lived, big deal. So you go to the hospital, people live all the time, they come in sick, and they leave healthy, hopefully. Even though hospital is not a place for a sick person, we all know that. But but he lived from his illness. And that was a novelty, a chiddush of the time. Such a thing can happen, that a person can live, even though he was ill. Pasuk Yud, Ani Amarti. Chizkiyahu says, I said to myself, Bidmi yomai eilecha b'sha'arei sha'ol. Now, eilecha b'sha'arei sha'ol is simple. I will go in the gates of death. I will die. That we understand. No one seems to describe the meaning of those words. But what does it mean, Bidmi yomai? The word Bidmi does not appear anywhere else, especially now with this nikud, Bidmi. You have Bidmi, you have Nidma. So what do these two words mean? So Rashi and the Mitzudos and many others, they take this word from the word Nidma. Nidma means to be silenced. We had this before, okay, I don't know, going back, Nidma kol am kenana, that's in Sefania, but we had something similar, I believe we had something similar in Yeshaya, in getting of Yeshaya. Nidma means to be silenced. Yomai means my days. And we have to read the words not in order, as my days are being cut off, I will die. Yeshaya felt that a healthy person should live much longer, but he saw Bidmi Yomai, my days are being cut off. I'm cut, Lashnov Nidma. Nidma means to be silenced. When a person is silenced, it means enough, quiet, no more. No more, don't speak, there's nothing more for you to do. Or it's an expression, a metaphor for silence him. Silence the person means put him to death, cut him off. So that's the word Dalid Mem, from the word Nidma. Yomai, my days are being silenced, meaning I am being cut off, and therefore Eilecha b'sha'arei sha'ol, I will enter the gates of death. Two separate things. Person dies, and then he enters the gates of death. You would think it's all one and the same. You're being cut off, so being cut off automatically means you die. So either we can say in a chanami, it's all just some poetic expression, there's repetition, or there's something much deeper here. It means that after a person dies in this world, he's then taken in the next world into the gates of death. What does that mean? I do not know. But it's a difficult expression, b'dimich yomai, in the cutting off of my days, as I observe my days are being cut away, eilecha, I will now enter b'sha'arei shol, the gates of death. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, which I found to be very interesting, is b'dimi lashon of blood. And it's an expression which means in the best of the most healthy, in my vitality, in my prime, b'dimi yomai, here I am, I'm 39 years old. This is when a person, you know, he makes partner, when he gets tenure, when he becomes the head of the department in his field, whatever he does, this is the age when a person reaches, he matures in life and achieves success. Okay, there are studies, what age does a person achieve, people who pursue wealth, and what age do they actually make it? There are different... This is the age. I'm now at the age where I would expect, I'm in my prime. Here is where I would achieve success in the blood of my life. A person is a basar v'dam. Dam is blood, and it means health. In the most precious time of my life, the most vital time of my life, all of a sudden, everything has been turned upside down. Eilecha b'sha'arei sha'ol. I'm told, I've received a report from Yeshaya, you're going to die. Tzav lebeitzcha, command your household, you're going to die. So that's another interpretation. Rav Schwab says this, maybe he says the name of Rav Julius Hirsch. I'm not, he quotes now a lot of these interesting expressions, which are very off the paved road, come from Julius Hirsch. We mentioned this. Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch had a son. His name was Rav Julius Hirsch. And he spent 30 years learning Sefer Yeshaya. And he wrote a Sefer on Sefer Yeshaya with many novel interpretations of Pshut Shol Mikra. And Rav Shimon Schwab is fascinated with the Sefer, and he quotes this very often. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that's one of his interpretations. Between the blood of my days, the vital part of my life, Eilecha b'sha'arei sha'ol. But according to Rashi, it means that my days have been cut off. Next, Pukadati yeser shenosoi. Pukadati means to be missing. David was missing. It says here, I've got the expression by Erev Rosh Chodesh, when the makom of David was, I've got the exact words, but the word
nifkadato
mekomo, his place was missing. His place was missing. The word pokad can mean to remember, can mean to count. It could mean to. There are many interpretations of the word. It's used differently in many different places. It's a very complex word, but in the context of the year, it means pukadati would mean to be missing. You remember, you look, and you notice something is wrong. Yes, sir, the remainder of shinosoi, of my years. So the pasuk here refers to days and years. We also we're very familiar that you give a bracha, arichas yomim v'shanim. Some people do not necessarily have arichas shanim, but they live full lives. They have arichas yomim. And then there are people that have arichas shanim, they live very long, they live long years, they live 100 years, but you know, the days are just not so important. The days are just stay there. Here we have that Chizkiyahu is saying that my days have been cut off, and my years, it will now be missing the remainder of my years. Pasuk Yudalef, Amarti, I said, Loi ere ka, I will not see ka bi eretz chayim, I want to repeat himself, ka in the land of the living, I'm not going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not going to see the shame. I'm not going to see the deeds of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the land of the living. Lo yabit adam od. I will no longer gaze upon man. Im yoshei choled, with the people that live in this world. Now, simply, we'll give different interpretations, but choled means people who live in choled means yoshei choled, the inhabitants of this world. Choled is a word which means the people, kein nikru kulim to the Sion, kein nikru ha'olam, the world is called choled.
I think he spelled this wrong here. He spelled it wrong.
How should it be said? Kumo Yoshe.
I think it's Chaled.
Oh, right. So that's what it says in the Farshim. The word, the letters can be interchanged. Chodel. Oh. I'm sorry. Chodel. You're right. Ches Talalame. Look what it says over here in the Kein Nikra Ha'ilam V'Kein Kol Yoshe Chaled. The two letters, the Lamed and the Dalad, are interchanged. Very good point. We have that. It's that we have that in other places. For example, Kesev and Keves. Kesev.
And Kesev.
The letters Keves and Kesev, the two last letters, sometimes are interchanged. This is very common. This is not so common, but you do have this in other examples, and here is one of those examples. The word Chodel is the same thing as the word Choled. They mean exactly the same thing. Not exactly, but pretty much the same thing for our purpose. This world, Ka'olam, sometimes the Lamed comes first, sometimes the Lamed comes last, just like a sheep, a lamb. Sometimes it's spelled in the Torah Kesev, and sometimes it's spelled Keves. Now, as far as we're concerned, Ruba de Ruba, it doesn't make a difference. It's exactly the same thing. However, there is, of course, an interpretation. I remember once seeing a beautiful interpretation. I forgot what it is, the difference, why sometimes the Torah says Keves and Kesev. A fascinating insight, and it works, fits perfectly. When you study each pasuk, you fully understand why the Torah changed the letter in each pasuk. It has to do with there's a reason to everything. Nothing is a coincidence. And the same thing is true when it comes to the word Chodel v'Choled. I'm sure there's a reason in the context of Vidiris Pesukim it's written differently, but for our purposes right now, it means the same thing. The people who live in this world, I'll no longer see them. There's a fascinating Rashi. And you should remember this Rashi every single day. When you dive, let's look at the Rashi. Pasuk Yud Aleph in Rashi. Rashi says, Toisos, okay, it says over here, it says, okay, this is a Tosfos. I'm not sure what that means. So that means it's added, or this comes from the Bali Tosfos. Amarti lo ereko, lo eshtamesh od b'shem shel ko. I will no longer have the right to use, to recite, the name ko, yudke. We know ki yod al keis ko milchom al Hashem amolek. It's one of Hashem's name. Next words of Rashi, Beret Sachayim, the land of the living, because Chayim mishtam shinbo, aval hamesim, enam reshoyim, the dead are not allowed to recite the word ko. Yeah?
Eretz Chayim is a term for a cemetery.
That's a colloquial term. That's a.
It wouldn't affect the pshat here?
I don't know if Eretz Chayim is in Tanakh, if it's used like that. Today, there's a cemetery, a famous area in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
A lot of cemeteries are called that.
Eretz Chaim.
It's a euphemism. It's a euphemism. Is that how it's used in Tanakh? Maybe it is. I don't know. But what?
Like, for example, Ladavid Hashem Ori.
Yeah.
You have Lei Mati Los Betub Hashem Be'eretz Chaim.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that mean like the hereafter?
Right. So it doesn't mean the cemetery. Maybe you'll find a reference where it can be interpreted at least homiletically to refer to a cemetery. But Lefi Pshuta Shel Mikra, Eretz Achayim means the land of the living, the real deal. We use it in modern times. We use it as a euphemism. We don't want to say something bad, so we call a cemetery the Eretz Achayim. Okay, but here Rashi says Eretz Achayim Chayim Shtam Shembo Aval Hanesim. Einem Rashaim Shenemar, him days and davening, lo hamesim yahalalu ka. It's really two words. Yahalalu, kama, ka. The dead are not allowed to praise Hashem with the shame, yud, k. The dead praise Hashem. They daven, they do whatever they do, but when they daven, their nusach atzila is yud, k, vav, k, or other shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sitter in Shemayim, if you take the sitter, you go ask the art school sitter in the Olam HaEmes, does not have Yud K anywhere. Does not say anywhere. That's not their version. That the editors there have deleted, have removed from the text. That's what it says here in Rashi. Lo ha-me-sim yahalilu ka. The dead are not allowed to praise Hashem with the shame Yud K. How do we know that? It says that here in this pasuk. What did Chizkiyo Sari Amarti Bidmi Yirei Elucha B'Shem Pasuk Yid Aleph Amarti Lo Ere Ka, I will no longer see Ka in this world Ka, because Ka is only a shame that the living can relate to the Eretz HaChayim. Yeah,
it's interesting that the Hey in that Shem has a Dagesh
Mapeke Ka.
Right, so I learned that you have to say the Hey
Pneumius,
right, has to
come out.
There has to be air. There has to be
okay,
breath.
Okay.
You hear that?
Aha.
Like,
it's not just you have to bring out your neshama to
right.
Say right. So the living neshama, the living. Okay, very good. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, so is there any thing about the fact that Hashem's name is repeated here?
So I saw somewhere. Maybe it could be in the Mitzvah. It's just for stylistic purposes, simply. But of course, there must be something deeper. It's twice. Lo ere kop. I'm not going to see kop. That's one idea. Period. Next thing, he explains himself. Obviously, there are many interpretations. Kop. Why not? Why not? I'm going to die. And in the next world, you see Hashem, right? In the next world, there's also a Ribbono Shel Olam in the Olam HaEmes. Yeah, but in the Olam HaEmes, we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an entirely different setting. There, it's not with the shame kop. There, it's Yud Kei Vav Kei. Or it's Yud-Kei, or it's whatever it is. There are other shemos, whatever these things mean, which we have absolutely no idea, but it's not with the idea of Yud-Kei, lo-Ere-Ka, because Ka is only be-Eretz HaChayim. And Rashi tells us, where do we find that in our Nusach HaTzvilan, in the Kisei HaKodesh? Lo-Y HaMesim Yehalelu Ka. The dead...
Dried out lulav you don't use because
it's dead. It's mason. The lulav itself is dead. But it's a very fascinating. Also, it could be. I mean, this is, you have to like, why? What does that mean exactly? So the theory is, I think there is this possibility because ka represents Hester Panim. That's really what ka is. Ka is ki milchama l'Hashem b'amolek yod al peis ka milchama l'Hashem b'amolek midor dar. HaKadosh Baruch whose throne is incomplete, HaKadosh Baruch whose name is incomplete, we are waiting for HaKadosh Baruch to mashlim the Yud-Kei with the second half of Vav-Kei, because today there is Hester upon him, there is darkness, we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sanhaga in the open, we have to search, in the Olam HaEmes, it's Emes, it's obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control, so Ka is an opportunity. It's an opportunity that the Mason's sorely missing, the ability to earn your keep in order to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Olam that's hidden. In the Olam HaEmes, you're missing that opportunity to see Ka, because it's obvious. There, it's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So, it's a frustration you only can earn. We're here in this world to have the opportunity to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu through concealment. That is only the Eretz HaChayim. Then he goes on to say, the end of the passage, Lo'yabe Adam Oid Im Yoshei Cholet. So I told you, Yoshei Cholet, according to the Simul interpretation, means Chodel is equivalent to Cholet with the people of this world. Rashi gives us another interpretation that Chodel, he doesn't seem to say, is related to, it has to really be related, but it means Chaluda, rust. And the meaning it means I will be together with the dead. The dead live in a world that where they rust, where they are weak. Let's see the Rashi exactly. Rashi viber hamaschil bi eretz hachayim chayim misham shembo avlo meisim in mosham shnemar lo yameisim yahaluka chok lemeisim. It's a law for the dead she'ein maskidim shem ben shtei shemos osios leolam. So Rashi the Tufanik bi eretz hachayim. Over here, Rashi, Lefi, Darko, it's always very typical of Rashi, it's very midrashic. Eretz Hachayim means in the Beis HaMikdash, the land of the living. I'm not going to be able to, not just I'm in this world, and flappish. It means in the Beis HaMikdash, that's what Chizkiyahu is complaining. Loi abit odom chai od, im yoshe chodel sheheye im hamesim. So here, Rashi says something different than the Mitzudos. In Yoshei Chodel, I will be Im Yoshei Chadal is a new statement. But rather, I will no longer see a man anymore in this world. But instead, Kama, I will be with the Yoshei Chadal. Who are the Yoshei Chadal? The dead. She'ehya im hamesim shayoshim bi'eretzcha dola umenuya min hachayim, that is separated and withheld. What?
Chodal yosh l'sarot.
Chodal.
Stop.
So dola umenuya min hachayim, that has been stopped and withheld from the living. So that's a very unique interpretation that Rashi is giving us for the word chodel. It's instead, and I will be with the dead. That's not the way the Mitzudos learns. If you look in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Mitzudos David, at the end of the Mitzudos, where he says, "Lo yabit adam, me'ato lo yabit osa b'nei adam asherheim im yoshei choled," I will no longer be together with the people of the choled, which is people of this world. Okay, so two different interpretations for that very unusual word. Now let's go further. Pasuk Yud Beis, Doiri Nosa. Chizkiyo continues to explain what happened to him. Dori means, that's another very unusual word. How do you translate this? You'd say my generation, right? The people of my generation. So indeed, that's how Rashi interprets this. Rashi says that Dori Nosa, Vinigla Mini, and I've been exiled from me. That's a very fascinating approach. When a person dies, how does a person look at dying? How do we look at dying? Everyone is here in this world, and I'm leaving. Who's leaving? Who's going and who's staying? You're staying. The living are staying put. Bye-bye. And the one who's ill, bye, guys. I'm packing up. I'm leaving. See you later. Wow. I'm the one who's leaving. Here he says, Pumfa Kertz. Guys, guess what? You're going somewhere. I'm the one that's alive. The person is dying. He's saying, I'm the real resident of the world. My separation from you is to be viewed. It doesn't really seem to make sense to us. That's what it says in the passage. You're going. You are all packing up and going somewhere to make the world of make-believe. It's if when the person leaves this world, the reality by the mace is so real, he looks at everyone else as if they have gone away. They have packed their bags and went to some fantasy land, some vacation village where you don't have your basic needs. That's what he says. He's saying over here, Chizkiyah is saying, look, I'm dying, right? I'm the one who's about to die, Chizkiyah says. But I'm not going anywhere. Doiri, my generation, all of my companions, all the people of this generation, Nisa, they are fleeing. They're running away from me. I'm living in the world of reality. They're living in the world of make-believe. Vinigla, Mini, and they're going into exile from me. They're going away. I'm safe. Ko'el Roi, like a tent of a shepherd. Just like a shepherd, just like a shepherd, he always has a tent, and every day he takes the animals to one piece of land to pasture, and then when that piece of land has been consumed, they go somewhere else. The shepherd is always on the move. He has one of those pop-up sukkahs. You buy a sukkah, you take it with you here, you take it with you here, you take it with you here. So that is a whole new way of looking at death.
Don't we say that now? I mean, we find solace by saying he's going to a better place.
So he said, he's going, and we're staying here.
I'm staying, and you guys are solid.
That's an interesting husband.
But it's what it says here. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Dori nosa v'nigla meni. B'nei Dori, the people of my generation, nosu mimenu. They're fleeing from him. That's what he's saying. They're going away. Kimo nischu, this is saying the word nischu, kimo baliso yisedoisav, the peg shall not be moved. Ko'o el roi, behema shemasi mikan v'toikon minbokam acher, kishikola mirezeh, like the tent of a shepherd, when the animals run out of food in this location, he uproots his tent and he brings his tent to a new location. The tent is always on the move, but here the Chiddush again to remember is that when he describes death in terms of, I'm not going anywhere. I'm living in the world of reality. You are the people that it's as if you're the people who are distancing yourself from reality by going to a different place. Okay, that is a very, very fascinating concept. The Mitzudos David obviously holds that concept a little bit too much to bear. So he says something that is very much simpler we can relate to. Dori means, that doesn't mean my generation. It means my dwelling. It means I'm going somewhere. My dwelling in this world. Dori, look at the Mitzudos Sion Pasuk Yidbeis, Miloshon Midura, dwelling place. My dwelling place, look at the David, Dori Nasa, Migurai, my dwelling, Be'olam Hazeh, in this world, Nisa, is fleeing, is on the move, V'nigla Mimeni, and distancing itself from me, meaning I'm going. My dwelling in this world, Nisa, V'nigla, Mini, is fleeing, and is exiling itself from me, meaning if my dwelling is leaving, I'm automatically attached to my dwelling place, and it's an expression which means in the bigger picture that I'm dying, and my resting place will no longer be among the living. My resting place will be in a different location among the dead. My tent is being uprooted from this world and has been taken to the Olam HaEmes. So according to the Mitzudas David, in Hanami, we interpret it the way that we would normally speak. Person dies, the person who's dying is going somewhere. And everyone else remains put.
A way to look at it is, you say, the rest of the people are going on with their lives, and I'm staying.
Okay, that's an idea, according to Rashi. Yeah. They're going on with their lives, I'm coming to an end. Okay, that's an idea. I like that, okay. Dari Nasa Nigla, many they continuing to carry on, and I'm stop, I come to an end. Ka'ayel Ra'i, or referring, or according to Mitzudos, referring to myself, I'm going somewhere. Next part of the pasuk, ki padati, I have been cut off. Cut off ka'oreg, like a weaver, chayai, my life. Midala yivatz eni, from my impoverished state, I have been cut off. The word yivatz eni is same thing as kipadati. Miyoyim ad laila tashlimeni. I will not live until the night. Now let's go one step at a time. First thing is we have the idea in the pasuk called kipadati ko oireg. I have been cut off like a weaver. Now this means a weaver. We all seen some Sechel Shabbos, all these demonstrations. The weaving machine. And the weaver has the shasi and the erif. And the strings, the vertical strings, the horizontal strings, and he keeps on weaving a garment. You can go on forever. As long as you have string, you keep on going. You throw the horizontal string in between the vertical strings, and then you go up and down, and you can the garment, you can make a scarf. Making a scarf, just keep on going. The scarf can be 50 feet, 100 feet, it can be a mile long, as long as you keep on going. The one who is weaving the garment is in control. But and the goal is, a person here in this pasuk is being compared to a garment that is in the process of being woven. A garment that's woven, a full life, let's make believe you're a marshal, it's 10 feet. Right? You make a scarf, how long is the scarf? Whatever it is, 10 feet, 5 feet, let's say it's 10 feet, that's a complete scarf. That represents a complete lifetime, a lifetime of 120 years. And because the Shbaruch Hu is the weaver, and he keeps on giving a person more life, more thread, and it goes back and forth, and in the process of construction, he makes designs, he enhances the garment to make it beautiful. A person is compared to a garment being woven by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But if the weaver decides, you know what, I don't want the garment anymore to be this time to be 10 feet, I'll be happy if it's 3 feet. And after he gets to when it's the size of 3 feet, he cuts the string, so pulls it out, the garment is finished. It's been cut short. That's the mashla over here. Kadosh Baruch Hu, every human being is a garment being woven by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and all of a sudden, it's like in my situation, the weaver decides, Adkan, no more. Cuts the thread, cuts it off, he cuts all the threads. After you cut the thread, the horizontal thread, you cut all the vertical threads so it shouldn't stick out, all the tzitzis, you just cut the whole thing, the garment is over, it's 3 feet, it's not your typical 10-foot garment, good enough. That's how Chizkiah complains about the sudden end of his life. He said, Kipadati, I have been cut off. It's a term, a word that means cut off, and is used exclusively in reference to a weaver. Cho'oireg, like an oreg, like a weaver cuts off the garment. Chayai, my life. Then he goes on to say, Midalo yivatz eini. I'm now in a state of dalos, poverty. And doesn't mean here, it doesn't mean here money, it means physical health. My physical strength is waned. I'm extremely weak. I'm in a state of physical poverty. I can't pick myself up. I can't do anything.
Poor health.
Poor health. Extremely poor health. Midala, poor health. Yivatz eini, and through my poor health, I will come to an end. Everything will be turned off, and I don't have much time left. When Chizkiyahu recited, when he realized that this was happening, he said, I don't think I'm going to make it to the night. Miyom, right now it's in the morning, ad laila, and I have 12 hours until the night, and it's certain that within 12 hours, tash limeni, I will be finished. My role in this world will be shalem, will have come to an end, I will not make it to the evening. Okay, so this is the beginning of the prayer. I really wanted to do much more, but this is the first part of his record, the michtav, the record of what happened. And then he goes on to describe how it got even worse, and eventually the Baruch had rachmanis on him, and he restored him, and he came back to life. And the Mishnah will pick this up tomorrow.